Just looking back over the past years, I thought I would just bring one final story to you this evening to let you see how God works in and through people's lives. He's been working here. And as I go back, I'll be telling stories away back home of people's lives who've been touched this side, in this crusade. For last evening, there were many who came to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. A couple that was saved a couple of years ago, it's rather an interesting story to show how that God works long before a crusade comes to town in order to create a need within the heart and soul of people. This couple were very wealthy, very well-to-do, business-wise, and in every way they had prospered. As far as material things were concerned, they couldn't have prospered more. But they didn't know the Lord. They didn't know anything about God. Nobody had ever talked to them about God. The only time either of them had ever been to church was when they were married, and that was some 30-odd years before the crusade came to town. And this couple had been very unhappy because the wife was so terribly distressed, and the husband couldn't really fathom why the wife was so unhappy. He gave her everything she wanted. He took her on vacations. He gave her all that she ever asked for, and yet every month that passed, she seemed to be more distressed and more unhappy. And they were sitting together one evening, and they were just talking. And he said to his wife, "I want you to share with me just the problems of your heart." And she said, "Well, if I could, I'd do that. But I just don't know what the problem is." He said, "Well, we are as much in love as ever we were, aren't we?" And she said, "Yes, we are." She said, "Every year gets better." She said, "I love you more dearly now than ever." And she said, "It's nothing like that that's making me sad." And he said, "Well, is there something you want?" She said, "You've given me not all that I want, but more than I ever asked for." And she told me herself, in her own words, she said that there were times when we'd have new rugs put through the house, new carpets down, and they wouldn't be down 6 months, and I'd be tired of them, and I'd have the whole lot just taken up and thrown away, and have all new brought in. She said it was the same with appliances for the home. She said, "I only had to say, I'm tired of this, or I'd like a change," and he had it there before the next evening. She said, "That's not the problem. I've got all that I need." And yet, she said, "I feel as if I've got nothing at all." She said, "I can't explain it. If I could tell you what it was, I'd share it with you. But," she said, "I don't know." Well, the crusade came into the town, and all over town the posters were going up, thousands of them. Almost every other store and shop had a poster up. Every telegraph pole down street had a poster on it. Every Christian had one, a poster stuck in their front lawn on a board with a poster either side. And one day she said to her husband, I don't know who these people are that are staging this effort in town, but she said they ought to be ashamed of themselves plastering our town with all these posters. She said, "I feel so angry at times, I'd like to just get out and tear everyone down that I see." And he said, "Well, that wouldn't do any good, would it?" She said, "No, it wouldn't do much good, but," she said, "it would vent my feelings a bit, because," she said, "I'm mad at these people." Well, it so happened that particular evening they were off to another cocktail party. They spent most of their time going from one cocktail party to the other. And this particular Saturday evening they were on their way to another, but they had two little dogs that they idolized, had to take them everywhere with them. And as they were going to the cocktail party and the dogs would be shut in the car for an hour or two, they thought they'd better give them a little walk around the park. So they drove their car right into the park where our big tent was. And she said, "There's that tent that all those posters are about." She said, "Well, whilst we're here, I'm going over to look in." She said, "I want to know what it's all about. There's enough posters and enough ado about it." She said, "I'm going to look in." So she took the dogs across the park, looked in, and the tent was almost full. She came back to her husband. She said, "We're not going to the cocktail party. We're going in the tent." He said, "We can't do that." She said, "Well, we are." She said, "We're just going to find out what it's all about." He said, "All right, we'll go in the tent then." By the time they put the dogs back in their car and got to the tent, it was full, and there was 150 or 200 people outside. Now, I had a little usher in that crusade who was a very annoying little man. He did everything that was wrong. all the time to wander about while I was preaching, and I'd feel like shouting at him and say, sit down, for goodness sake. I don't know whether he was counting people or what he was doing. He wouldn't have taken him long here some nights, I can tell you. I don't know what he did, but he always did things at the wrong time in the wrong way, and everybody would discuss it afterwards and say, now, why did he do that tonight just like that? Well, he did everything every night that was wrong, but this particular night he did something that was right. Probably that's why the Lord made him an usher, no other reason. Because that night he came out of the tent, he walked past at least 200 people who were waiting to get in, and he came to two people over the end of the line. He said to them, I've got two seats down the front for you. Now, what a thing to do. There's all these other people, you know. And he takes them right past everybody else, right down through the tent, and sat them in the front row. And that was this couple. And they listened to the gospel for the first time ever in their life. And as we were singing, Just As I Am, this woman knew this was the ache and the emptiness and the hunger in her heart. It wasn't for things. It wasn't for love. It wasn't for friendship. The ache within her heart was for God. And as the last verse of the hymn came, she said to her husband, I want to go forward. And he said, so do I. So they took each other's hand and they walked out to the front. And they received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. It was almost 3 years ago. And I met them this last summer, and they were radiant Christians. They began a little house group, Bible study group in their home just a fortnight after they were saved. Just 2 weeks later, they were starting their own outreach. And she was so thrilled this last summer. She said, we had the biggest meeting yet. She said, last week we had 57 people in our house for our midweek meeting. 57 people listening to the gospel and learning about the Lord Jesus. Many of their neighbors have been saved and their friends. Isn't it great? The hunger in her heart was met when she met Jesus and Jesus came in to her heart. Maybe tonight there's someone here and you've just been wondering for a long, long time why all the things in this world don't meet your need and satisfy your life. Well, it's because you've never found the Lord Jesus and taken him into your heart as your Savior. I would ask you to pray for our crusade or our London rally, which comes up March next year. Seems a long time from now, but Sam told you a little bit about it. It's the biggest effort we've planned. We've taken the Royal Albert Hall for a number of years. It seats about 7,500. And we've seen it filled afternoon and evening, and we praise God for that. So we've taken a building which seats over 10,000. And we would ask you to pray for that great rally, that that evening we shall see many, many people come to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior and friend. It's our big night of the year. We'll be bringing in all of the choirs that we've had singing for us for 3 years. They've been invited, and we hope to have them coming in and all joining together. You know, it'll be a tonic for you to see our choir master leading our choir, because believe it or not, he plays the piano and leads a choir of 1,000 voices at the same time as playing the piano. Does it all with his head. If I get a pain in my neck, I sometimes wonder how his head stays on. But I don't know whether people come to hear me preach in England. I think they come to watch John lead the choir. I don't know. But it's a good idea. Maybe another time I'll bring him along. Perhaps we'll fill this place if he's here to waggle his head enough. But I don't know how he does it, but it's incredible how he can play a piano and lead a choir at the same time. He's just one of those fellas. But he's great, and he'll be leading a 2,000 voice choir and playing the piano at the same time in April of next year. Reading from Luke 19. As Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, he saw a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that Jesus had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore it to him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord will add his blessing to these few verses from his precious word. We bow our heads in prayer at this time. Every head bowed and every eye closed as we spend a moment or two with God, asking him tonight to speak to our hearts and to draw us to himself. God has been speaking this evening through song, through the red word. Many of us tonight feel very close to the kingdom of God. We know that there's so little between ourselves and him. Tonight, God is calling us. He loves us. This is our night of decision. Many of you young people tonight, you're at a point of decision. Our families here at a point of decision. The whole question of eternity will be settled here this evening as you come to Christ and receive him as your Savior. Our Father in heaven, we do ask that this evening you will just captivate our minds, keep them from wandering. So easy, Lord, for our minds to be disturbed, distressed, or taken up with other things, legitimate things, home cares, business life. Lord, sweep everything away now and let us focus in upon yourself. Help us tonight, O God, to be brought face to face with your Son, the Lord Jesus, that we may understand his love, appreciate all that he did for us at the cross, and tonight come in faith to him, to receive him as Savior and Lord. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our chairman asked me this evening what I was preaching on tonight. I said, Zacchaeus. He said, well, that's good, because I've got something in common with him. Oh, I said, I think you'd have been a giant up against that little fella. He said, well, that makes me feel real good tonight. But he had got something in common with Zacchaeus, other than being little of stature. And that was, of course, that like Zacchaeus, Russ has received the Lord Jesus joyfully into his heart. Those of us that have been sharing in these meetings night by night, just say from our heart tonight, we have received the Lord Jesus joyfully into our heart and have received him as our Savior and our friend. And that's why we want to tell you about him, because since we received him, we have proved his love, we have proved that he is a God that is faithful, a Savior that never has left us. It's great being a Christian. Young people, the thrilling thing of living in the 70s is this, that all over the world, thousands and thousands of young people are seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. There are more young people becoming Christians now than for many decades past. And that's really exciting. And I thank God for the joy of being in and working in an age when young people are finding Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. We're going to look at this story tonight for a few moments and let God speak to our hearts. For there are many things about this man Zacchaeus that is like unto ourselves, our own problems, and our own lives. Zacchaeus, you know, was a man that was like a good many of us. He was very inquisitive. Some of us are here tonight because we're inquisitive. And that's the only reason we're here. We didn't come because we were really impressed by a crusade because we believed the sort of things that a crusade preacher was preaching. We came tonight because we were inquisitive. What is a crusade all about? What is this preaching of the gospel? What is happening out at Seneca College? And we're inquisitive. Human beings are by nature. You just stand in the street sometime and look up into the sky and stand there for less than a minute, and I'll assure you that 20, 30 or 40 other people will all be standing round you looking up there too. And if you walk away, they'll still be looking, wondering what on earth you saw. It only needs four people to stand and look in a shop window or in a store and everybody else to crowd around. There may be nothing to look at. Maybe an empty window, but they'll all look in. Because that's our nature. We do the most silly and stupid things at times just because we cannot control that stupid something in us that wants to know what's going on. Well, Zacchaeus was like that. He wanted to know what was going on. It wasn't just that he was inquisitive, but, you know, other people had told him some strange things about Jesus. Zacchaeus had a job that brought him into contact with people. And you can't have a job that brings you into contact with people without hearing all the gossip of the day. You know that if you've that sort of job. Everybody that comes in and passes you or comes to speak with you in a day will tell you the things they've seen and the things they've heard and the things that are going on. And Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Not everybody that came through the gateway into the city was a friend of Zacchaeus. And not everybody passed on information that was good. But everybody told him something. And I believe that Zacchaeus had met many people who had been really in contact with Jesus Christ. And Zacchaeus had heard many thrilling stories about the Lord Jesus. He'd heard that Jesus Christ, this wandering prophet, could give sight to blind men, could give new strength into the limbs of men that were lame. That deaf men could hear and dumb men could speak. And that dead men had actually come to life again. Not only had he heard of all the miracles that Jesus did, of the thousands fed with a little boy's lunch, but he'd heard of the many statements that Jesus had made. Profound statements about God, about heaven, about hell, about life. As well as about death. He'd heard statements that came from the lips of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus said, "What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul?" And you can't hear things like this about a wandering prophet, a wandering preacher, without hoping in your heart that someday that preacher will come your way. And Zacchaeus had hoped and longed for many a month that one day Jesus would come to Jericho. And one morning, quite unexpectedly, the news broke up in the town, Jesus of Nazareth is coming to Jericho. He's only a few miles out, and he'll soon be in the city. Zacchaeus was thrilled. Zacchaeus knew what he had to do. He had to see Jesus. He had to find out whether all these stories about Jesus were true. The Bible says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. That something within him was saying, is he the Son of God? Is he really a miracle worker? Is he really the prophet that changes lives? Who is he? I must know. And so Zacchaeus did the thing that we've all learned about in Sunday school. He climbed into a tree. He went down the street. He climbed up into a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to know who Jesus was. If I could come to you privately this evening and just ask you quietly, who do you think Jesus is? I wonder what sort of answer I would get. I wonder how many of us here tonight are 100% convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. He is, whether we're convinced of it or no. I wonder how many of us tonight are 100% convinced that He is the only Savior that men can know. The only person that can give to men and women eternal life. The only person that can take us into heaven. I wonder if you really believe that. I wonder if you really know who Jesus is. If you really do believe that He is the Son of God, and if you really believe that He is the only Savior, then why are you not trusting Him? And why are you not following Him? And why have you not received Him into your heart joyfully, as Zacchaeus did? It says Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. And tonight I want you to receive Jesus joyfully. For as you answer the questions and get them solved and then hear the call of Jesus, I want you tonight to receive Him by faith into your own heart. In a few moments I will be asking you to get up out of your seat and make your way down the stairs. Come down the steps and to stand here publicly, openly, to confess that you do believe that He's the Son of God. That you do believe that He's the Savior who died for you upon the cross. And I'm going to ask you to come down here and publicly receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into your heart by faith. I'm going to ask you to receive Him into your life, to trust Him, to take Him at His word, and to go home tonight with Jesus as your own personal Savior and friend. But before Zacchaeus could receive Jesus joyfully, he had to prove for himself who he was. Now, we've all known the story about him climbing the tree, but very few of us, I think, have ever really sat down and thought about that act. Now, who was Zacchaeus? It says he was a very rich man. He was an influential man. He may not have been a very popular man, but he was known by everybody in Jericho. So it was no easy thing, it was no light thing for a man like this to climb a tree. All right, any of the boys here could climb a tree and nobody would be the least bit interested. Boys climb trees. Unless it was your tree, then you might be interested, and perhaps a little more than that. You might be wanting to get him out of it. But boys climb trees. It's an occupation of kids. But not men. Not unless it's their living. Cutting dead branches out or something. Have you ever seen an influential man of Toronto climbing up a tree? Well, then you might ask the question, why did he climb a tree? You say you've already answered it, because he was inquisitive. All right, you're inquisitive. But would you be inquisitive enough to climb a tree in any place in Toronto when a parade was going by and risk being seen climbing a tree? What man is there here tonight would climb a tree? You want more than an inquisitive spirit to send you clambering up into a tree and sitting in the branches waiting for somebody to come by. Well, Zacchaeus did that. He was well known, influential, rich, and yet something within him sent him up that tree to sit in the branches waiting for Jesus. And it was more than a desire to know who Jesus was. What was it that sent him up the tree? A deep, deep spiritual concern. This man Zacchaeus was ready and ripe for salvation. Many things had gone on in Zacchaeus' life through the past years, but some of the things that had been going on were deeply personal and deeply spiritual. And there are some of you here tonight, young people, some of the things that have been going on in your life you've never shared with anyone. Personal things, personal problems. And some of those things are deeply spiritual. And you've never shared them with anyone. You don't find it easy to talk about spiritual things. Who does? It isn't easy to talk about matters of the soul, personal, intimate problems of the heart. It isn't easy to talk about intimate relationships with God. It isn't easy to talk about these things to people. Sometimes we are oversensitive and too reserved about our spiritual needs and our spiritual problems that we just don't share them with anybody, but it doesn't mean we haven't got them. And there are some of you here tonight that have never once shown to a soul in the world that you cared about God or you cared about your soul or you cared about your sin or that you ever thought twice about death or eternity. Nobody would ever have a clue. Young man came to me one evening. We were in Tredegar, a town in Wales, one of the steel towns, right in the heart of the steel industry. It was late one Sunday evening. We'd been preaching for 2 or 3 hours in the open air. We had a trailer. Thousands of kids were in Tredegar. It's a sort of center where literally thousands of young people gather for their Sunday fling. And they had wandered to and fro, hundreds of them. And one lad came to my trailer and knocked the door. He said, could he come in and speak with me? I said, yes. He was a fellow with a leather jacket and 1,000 bright studs on the back. Called himself a Hell's Angel. Didn't look like much of an angel. But he did look as if he might have had something to do with hell not very long before, because he was very rough and he was very tough. And the last thing I expected him to do was to talk to me about his soul. That's the very last thing I expected him to do. He began to cry. Really cry. Sob. He said, you're the first person I've ever spoken to about the greatest need in my life. I said, what is your need? He said, I need God, and I'm afraid. I'm afraid of life, I'm afraid of death, I'm afraid of the future. But he said, outside there are young men who, if they knew I was in here talking to you, he said, they'd probably kill me. He said, I'm their leader. I've been their leader for years. He said, if you knew what we'd done and what we did and what we're involved in, you wouldn't talk to me. But he said, I need God. He took out of his pocket a cross. It had been carved of wood and showed it me. He said, I made that. I said, what for? He said, I don't know. He said, only that the last few weeks I've been so afraid to live and so afraid even to die that I haven't been able to sleep. And he said, I went looking round churches to see if there was an answer all on my own. And he said, the only thing I could discover was that every church had a cross. And he said, I thought perhaps the cross had something to do with safety and hope. And he said, I made myself a cross, just like the one I saw in the church. And he said, I hold it at night when I go to sleep. This is a man of 20, a young lad of 20. Tough. And he said, I can only sleep when I hold the cross. He said, Mr. Preacher, why? I said, I can't tell you why, but I can tell you something. You've latched on to the answer to your problem. The cross is the answer. And what you're doing in darkness and in ignorance, God has brought you to me to find out the truth. For the only hope you have in this life and in eternity is based upon what Jesus, the Son of God, did for you at the cross. And I said, son, the cross isn't important, but the Savior who hung on it is. And I showed that lad the way to Jesus and the way to heaven. It was the cross. But that lad had deep inner problems, just like some of you here tonight. There's a father here tonight. You've never let your children ever know that you had a desire to know about God. Zacchaeus climbed a tree because he was in deep problem. Soul problems, spiritual problems, in need. And he didn't let anybody see him climb that tree, but I'm a feeling in my heart that if people had seen him, he'd have still climbed it because he was so desperate to find an answer. The problem was this, and I believe he discovered that Jesus had taught that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I believe he had discovered this, that Jesus had taught, though a man become rich and though he gain the world, if he lose his soul, what should it profit him? Can you imagine somebody coming into town and here's a tax collector and the tax collector demands more than he has a right to demand? You know how you'd react, don't you? If the tax collector had the right to take $5 from you and he took $7, you know what you'd feel like? Real mad. You couldn't do anything, he demanded it. But I reckon if you had courage, you'd say to him, do you know what I heard the preacher say yesterday? You can gain the world, tax collector, but you might lose your soul. You can gain the world, but you might lose your soul. And it got through to his heart. He began to realize how wrong was his life, how empty was his life. And he was deeply concerned to be forgiven. My friend, what would it profit you if you gained the world and lost your soul? Do you ever stop to think about it? That you are a spiritual being that is going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. 1,000 years from tonight, you will be in heaven or hell. You are a spirit being. And because you are spirit, you cannot ever cease to exist. You live forever because you're a spirit. And you live forever in heaven or hell. The only people that can go to heaven are those who acknowledge their sin and receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And if we're careless, just careless about Jesus, we may die without salvation. Zacchaeus is concerned about his deep need. He's concerned about eternity. When will you step into eternity? You just don't know. I was in Dublin 2 or 3 years ago on a crusade. One evening I was preaching and I just used an illustration. I said, death is no respecter of persons. It touches young men and old men. It touches boys and girls. Did you know that? You don't have to be old to die. Today in this city, somewhere, a boy of 10 has died. A girl of 11 has died. You don't have to be old to die. I said in that meeting, you know, if you don't believe that, just take a casually walk through a cemetery. And you won't take very many steps before you see a tombstone of someone who died just your age. In fact, I did that myself a week or two back. And I was shattered by the number of people that were my age that I passed in just one block of tombstones. A young man was in there. I didn't know him. Didn't know he was in the meeting. He was a grave digger. He went to work next morning, doing the job he does every day of the week, just digging another grave. And his curiosity said to the boss, well, who am I digging for today? And the boss said, oh, a chap your age. And it went like an arrow through his heart. A chap my age. Yeah, he said, you probably knew him. Said he was killed in an accident last week or just this week and he's being buried tomorrow. 21 years of age and he was dead. Eternity! Eternity! Where are you going to spend eternity? You're living for today. You're living for your love. You're living to your sweetheart. You're living for your family. You're living for your business. You're living for time. You're living for material things. But where are you going to spend eternity, eternity, eternity? That young man said as I dug that grave, it was like digging it for myself. He said, I've never had such a task in all the years I've been working there. He said, it was the hardest job I've ever done. He said, it was for a boy my age. And he said, I didn't know where I would spend eternity if it had been me. And that night he was back in the crusade of Miriam Hall, Dublin, and he was down the front and he wept his way to Jesus. He said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for bringing me back tonight. I want to be saved. I want to be a Christian. His girlfriend was angry, furious because he had been saved. They were due to be married in a few weeks. And he said to his girlfriend, I love you dearly, but I will not accept your terms. For she said to him, you quit your faith, or I quit you. And he said, you can do what you will. But he said, it could have been me, and where would I spend eternity? He trusted Jesus. We prayed for 6 days for that girl, and on the sixth night she came forward hand in hand with him to receive Jesus as her Savior too. Where are you going to spend eternity? Zacchaeus! Yes, it's true, you're a sinner. Zacchaeus, you have a problem, and Jesus is here. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus tonight? What will you do with Jesus? Zacchaeus, receive him joyfully into your heart. Will you? Will you receive Jesus tonight? Jesus came through the gates of the city. Jesus came down the main street. Jesus came to the very tree where Zacchaeus was hiding. And Jesus stood beneath the tree and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, how did Jesus know Zacchaeus was there? Jesus knew Zacchaeus was there because Jesus is the Son of God and he knows all things. How did Jesus know Zacchaeus was there? Jesus knew Zacchaeus was there because Jesus is the Son of God and he knows all things. And he knows you're here tonight. He knows the problem of your heart. He knows every need of your soul. He knows about the sin of yesterday, the sin of last week, the sin of last year. He knows the problems of your home. He knows the problems of your business. He knows. Jesus knows you by name. Oh, friend, tonight you can't hide anything from him. He knows you. He could call you from heaven right now by name. He knows you. But more than that, he loves you. He loves you. He knows you. He loves you. Zacchaeus! Zacchaeus was amazed. He looks down and thinks, who told Jesus I was here? He realizes nobody could have done that because nobody saw him climb that tree. And then he realizes Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God! He knows my need. He knows my problem. He's calling me. Oh, friend, tonight as this crusade comes to its close, I believe that Jesus is calling you. I believe this is your night with God. I believe it's your moment with God. I believe tonight you must receive Jesus joyfully into your heart. He's calling you. He always calls people by name. He doesn't deal with people by mass. God deals with everybody individually. It's just so fantastic when you ask people when they come forward why, and every one of them tells you a different reason. Because as the message is preached, every heart is touched individually. And Jesus has touched your heart tonight. You've never received him, have you? You're a churchgoer. You pray. You read your Bible. You've never received Jesus, have you? Some of you don't read your Bible. Some of you have been careless about God. Some of you used to go to church. Some of you once had a faith. Somehow tonight you're a long, long way from God. And He loves you and He's calling you. He's calling you by name. He's dealing with you as an individual. He's stirring your own conscience as a preacher could never do. But God is there. The Holy Spirit is touching your heart and your soul. He's calling you by name. He's calling you to come to Jesus tonight and be saved. Zacchaeus! It was a personal call. It was an urgent call. The devil tricks us time and time and time again to say there is nothing urgent about salvation. And my friend, there is nothing more urgent than the need of salvation. There is nothing in the world that you should deal with more urgency
than your salvation. For the Bible says, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what tomorrow may bring. How many of you are going to go out of this building tonight unsaved? Some of you are. Because you believe that there is time tomorrow. Put it off, says the devil. Next week, next year. Get married first and settle it afterwards. Enlarge the business now and then sort out salvation later. Deal with this and salvation later. And God says you're a fool. For there was a man who said, I'll deal with all my things here now. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build some bigger because my harvest is wonderful. And then I'll sit down and take my ease. And I'll say to my soul, you've everything, take your ease. And God said, you fool, tonight, your soul is required of you. And it is possible that before this hour tomorrow, someone in this auditorium could be in eternity. And every one of us, including me, thinks that will be someone else. It could be you. It could be me. Do you know where you'd spend eternity? I thank God I know where I'd spend it. For I received Jesus joyfully as a lad of 18. Have you ever received Jesus joyfully? I haven't got a doubt where I would go in eternity, not one. I know God well enough for that. I've walked with Jesus long enough for that. I haven't got one single doubt. If I died this moment talking to you now, I know where I would go. I know that Christ died for me. I know that He rose from the dead. I've proved His power, His love, His protection. I've proved Him through a million experiences since I was a boy of 18. And I know Him. Do you? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? It's an urgent call. Jesus said today. Jesus never asked Zacchaeus about tomorrow. He said today, I must come in your house. And Jesus will not even promise one of you that tomorrow on the Lord's day you can be saved. But He promises you today, now, if you're trusting, you can. It wasn't only an urgent call. It was a loving call. All the calls of God are loving. How wonderful God is. How loving is Jesus, our Savior. I wish I could tell you tonight as I close how loving He is. I wish I could tell you and get you to understand how deep is the love of Christ. He loves you so much. Men stood around and said of Jesus, Jesus has gone to live in a house with a man who's a sinner. As much as to say, how dare he? Jesus knew this man was a sinner and He loved him. There wasn't any secrets that the men of Jericho could tell Jesus about Zacchaeus that Jesus didn't know. There isn't a secret in your life that anybody could tell Jesus that Jesus doesn't already know. But He loves you. He loves you. And 2,000 years ago, He died for you. He died for men the whole world over. His love and His death and His sacrifice are sufficient to meet all the need of your heart and soul this very Saturday evening. He loves you. You can see Him upon that cross. His back is bleeding and torn. They whipped and scourged Him. You can see Him on the cross. His hands are torn by nails. You can see Him on the cross. His feet are pierced by nails. You can see Him on the cross. Look to the cross by faith. Look to that cross at Calvary. And there you'll see the Son of God, Jesus, Maker of heaven and earth, the Son of God. And you'll see Him bleeding and suffering and agonizing and dying. You'll see Him humiliated by men. You'll see Him set at naught by men. But you'll see Him dying for sinners you'll see him dying for you. He did die for you. He loves you. He knows all about your mind. How many of you would sit right where you are now if a tape recorder would play everything that you'd thought since you awoke this morning? How many of us would stay here if the thoughts of a week and the actions of a week were displayed on a film? Could we stay? What if every thought of your mind, every secret of your heart, every action of your life, every place, everywhere, were brought into the open tonight? Could you bear it? God has it all, and God loves you. That's how wonderful God is. And He will blot out all of your sin. He will forgive you all your sin. He loves you. Oh, come to Him tonight in grace, to His grace. Come to Him tonight in faith. Trust Him tonight. He loves you. He loves you. Yes, the love of God was wonderful. He knew all about Zacchaeus, his home life, his deep need, but He loved him. But He said, I must come. The demanding call, I must come. I must come. I tell you tonight that it's a matter of life or death. Jesus must come. And so, in 2 moments from now, you'll be making up your mind whether you're going to receive Him or reject Him. But He must come. Jesus said, today I must come to your house. Why must? Because it is a matter of life or death. It is a matter of heaven or hell. And then Jesus did something that no doubt for Zacchaeus was a shattering thing. Jesus called him out of the tree in full view of hundreds of people and said, Zacchaeus, I love you, I care about you, I want to save you, I want to enter your heart, I want to come to your home. Zacchaeus, if you will come down out of that tree and receive me, then all the problems of your heart and your life and your home will be solved. I will come into your heart, I will solve your problem, I will forgive your sin, I will change your life. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And what did Zacchaeus do? It was the most humbling thing that Zacchaeus had ever been asked to do. It was the most humbling moment in his life. Jesus, the Son of God, was looking at him, and beneath the tree there were 1,000 eyes peering up into the tree at one man. All of those people that looked upward had heard the call of Jesus. And Jesus had said, Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus, come down and receive me. And the Bible says, Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. Tonight, I believe that Jesus Christ is speaking to you just as He was speaking to Zacchaeus in that tree. I believe tonight He loves you. I believe He is calling you personally. I believe this is your moment with Him. I believe for some of you there will never ever be another moment just like this. And I believe that Jesus is saying, come down and receive me. For Zacchaeus, it was the one and only opportunity of his life to receive Jesus. For Jesus passed through Jericho that day and never came to Jericho again. And if Zacchaeus had not received Jesus there and then, he would have received Jesus never. Tonight, Jesus looks to you and He says, make haste and come down. And I'm going to ask you now to come to Christ. Last night, husbands and wives and families came to Christ. girls and boys came to Jesus Christ. They got up out of their seats. They came down the aisles reverently, quietly, and they came to Christ. Walking down here doesn't save you. Coming down out of a tree didn't save Zacchaeus. What saved Zacchaeus? What changed the life of Zacchaeus? He received Jesus. He received the Lord. And how do you receive the Lord? You ask Him into your heart by faith. You make room in your life for Jesus. You take the Lord Jesus into your heart. You ask Him into your soul. You receive Him by faith. By faith. And I'm going to ask you to come right now and receive Him by faith. The choir are going to sing. And this is your moment not to come down out of a tree. This is your moment courageously, openly, to come down out of this auditorium to Christ and to receive the Lord Jesus into your heart joyfully. There isn't one of you here too young to come. Not a boy and girl too young in the whole building. There's no one here that's been too long away. He's calling you personally. He loves you. But He says, if I'm going to come into your heart, you must come and receive Me. And tonight you can receive the Lord Jesus into your heart by faith. If you want a friend to walk with you, husband or wife to walk down with you, you ask them. If you want a friend to walk down with you, she or he will come. But right now is your moment to come. I'm going to ask you to stand. Just stand where you are and come to Christ tonight. Every one of you stand right back against your seat so that people can get by. Now quickly, from all over the auditorium, you come to Christ. Don't wait. Just as last night many came to give their hearts to the Lord, you quickly, from everywhere, you come. Right now, just walk down the steps and come to the Lord. We're waiting for you. You just come, right now. There's plenty of time. You just walk down the steps and come and stand here facing Me to give your heart to Christ. Now as the choir sing, you come. Wherever you are, you just come. Right now, you come. Just many of you tonight want to come. You come quietly now and just stand here. Counselors will come with you. You just come. Your coming will help others to come. One of you comes tonight, many will come. You know that. Many are nervous to come. You just come. People are coming, you just come from everywhere and join them. Many others of you come. As friends are coming, you come too. You just come. Many of you are wanting to come. You come right now. The choir are going to continue singing. You come. Why do many of you wait tonight? There may never be another moment like this for you. You know this is your moment with God. Others are coming, you come. You stand at the crossroads tonight. I'm not asking you to come emotionally to God tonight. I'm asking you to come because tonight you know that you've never received Jesus Christ and that tonight you need the Lord Jesus in your heart. And many people are coming. This is your moment, not for emotion. This is your moment for decision. Your moment to receive Jesus into your heart by faith. There are many coming, husbands and wives, sweethearts, young people, scores of you come from everywhere. Many are coming. You just come from everywhere, quickly, quietly. We're going to give you plenty of time tonight to come, but you come right now. It takes time to come down. Many are coming, you just come from everywhere. choir are going to continue singing this lovely hymn. You come. Many of you are wanting to come. Others are coming from all over the place. You come. Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. It's only a step of faith that brings Christ into your heart. You can receive him tonight. It will only be the first step in the kingdom of God. Just the first step, but it will be the greatest step you've ever taken. Choir are going to sing one verse and then we're going to close in prayer. Now as they sing this last verse, quickly you come. If you want a friend to walk with you, ask them, but come. This is your moment with God. Others coming, there's plenty of time. You come from everywhere. Choir, would you just hum that verse while I talk, just very quietly, as others are coming. I want to talk to those of you that are coming. I want to talk to those who are here. Tonight, I haven't asked you to come to me as a man. I couldn't change your life. I'm only just a preacher. I've just tried to tell you tonight in simple terms about the love of God. The way you can have Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior and as your friend. I haven't asked you tonight to come and join a church, though some of you may have thought that. The purpose of coming tonight is not to join a church. The purpose of coming tonight is to give your heart to Christ and receive Him. Immediately after closing prayer, and I'm going to pray in just a moment, people are still coming. If you want to come, you just come. Plenty of time while I'm talking. The whole reason we got you forward is that we might help you to receive Christ. Now tonight, immediately after the closing prayer, we have a large room at the back here, and we would like you all to go in there for a few moments, because in there we're going to give you some literature, and we're going to talk with you just for a minute. A counselor will speak with you. That's a gentleman will speak to you if you're a man. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady counselor to speak with you. And all they're going to do is to show you how you can be sure that Christ is in your heart, and how you can be sure that you're going home having received Christ. And so this is a wonderful night for you. I'm going to ask now as I'm praying that every counselor that's in the building makes their way down while I'm praying. And I'm going to ask that while I'm praying, those of you who still want to come should come. Let everybody bow in prayer. I know that tonight there are many others that want to come. Don't let fear or pride or anything hold you back. There are so many here tonight. You come and stand with them. And while counselors are walking down, you come too. It's not too late. Come tonight and receive Christ into your heart by faith. Lord Jesus, tonight we thank you for moving again in this meeting. We thank you for this large number of people that have come forward to receive Christ. Lord, we do not believe tonight this is emotion. We believe it is a decision of the will to receive by faith the living Savior into their heart that they might start a new life with God, a life that means happiness, forgiveness, assurance, and hope. Lord, there are many tonight who still haven't come. Bring them now, Lord. Let go of fear. Help them, Lord. Bring them. And all tonight, save every one of them. Lord, send them home with assurance in their heart. Send them home with Christ in their life. May they go home tonight knowing without one doubt that they are born again of the Spirit of God. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to ask that everybody remain standing. And would all of you that have come forward follow round this way, and I want every counselor to come. Just follow round, please. For those of you that are with friends and parties, they'll wait for you until you come back. Now, others of you want to give your life to Christ, you come. You come. If you want to give your life to Christ, you come. Some of you are coming. not too late. This is your moment with God. Are there any other counselors in the choir or in the congregation? Please go through. You may be needed. Don't hold back. We need you. Time is important. Or anywhere in the building, go straight through if you're a counselor. You may be seated. Don't leave for just a moment. The first thing to say is this, that God is working with power. We're going to expect God tomorrow to work mightily. Expect God tomorrow to save many hundreds of people. If we come with that kind of expectancy, God could do it. We could just see tremendous outpouring of God's blessing. Now you be here tomorrow. You bring your neighbors, bring your friends, and let's fill every seat. They can bring in other seating to go up the top. And we can get almost 1,500 people in here. Now you be here tomorrow. It's the last day. We wish there were 3 weeks to go, at least another week, that God could move. For we've just begun to get real with God. We've just begun to mean business with God. We've just begun to pray this thing through. And we're just beginning to see God touch lives, many lives. Now you go home tonight praising God with all your heart. Just go home giving Him all the glory. And if there's any one of you is not a Christian and you've never received Jesus joyfully, while others are going home, you make your way straight down and go through. Counselors are waiting to meet you there. Don't go home without the Lord. Receive Him tonight by faith into your heart. As you leave tonight, go home quietly, no talking in this auditorium. Make your way out without any talking. Just pray as you leave. There's plenty of room for talking down the far end in the foyer. As you get there tonight, remember that if you'd like to receive our newsletters regularly, giving you information of our ministry back in England and other parts of the world, just sign up. The ushers have paper and pencils there. Put your name and address on it clearly, and we will send to you our newsletters regularly so you can pray for us. We hope to be back somewhere in the area next year, and perhaps you'll be near enough to come and see us then. But tonight, go home praising God. Be back tomorrow afternoon at 3:00. There's no meeting tomorrow night. Make sure that that is announced in your place of worship tomorrow, because last Sunday evening there were many people outside of Seneca College waiting to come in for the service. So make sure that no one comes tomorrow evening. Tomorrow afternoon is the final meeting. Now as you go, the Lord bless you, everyone. Give you a safe journey home.